Hello and welcome again to the episode 13 of the Healthcare India podcast. This is fascinating because in episode 12, we talked a lot about hospitalization and markers for hospitalization, how the rate of hospitalization has increased in India, mostly because of the availability of hospitals and also increased awareness. The bigger concern came from the non-communicable diseases, which now constitute a major portion of our healthcare burden. We also talked about the cost of healthcare, which has gone up, obviously, highest being oncology and the lowest towards the more communicable infectious diseases. So one of the questions I received after the podcast was, what is the role of predictive analytics in predicting hospitalization or admission and readmission? So predictive analytics is a superb tool. Concept-wise, it does a lot of brilliant things. If you've been reading the news of late, you would have read that how Google has partnered with the Bangalore Traffic Police to monitor traffic, and they're going to extend this project to many other cities in India. So that is a great example of predictive analytics, how the Google Maps predicts which is the less crowded route for you, providing alternatives at all times. So what that means is predictive analytics would help doctors come up with ideas as to how they can follow different lines of treatment for a particular patient depending on their genotype, phenotype. So this takes me back to 2015 where when Angelina Jolie was probably the first instance where predictive analytics was used when she went public with her condition. She carried what we call as BRCA, BRCA gene, which increases her chances of breast and ovarian cancer. And this is a condition that affected not only her mother, but also her grandmother. And she underwent a very public double mastectomy or breast removal in order to eliminate this critical area, which would have caused cancer for her eventually. Now, this is a one-off case. It's a very exceptional case, highly public case, because you know she went public with it, she discussed her entire procedure, and even her doctors participated in it and raised awareness to a great level. Now this is a great case, great example of how predictive analytics using genetics and gene therapy can really augment your health and prevent, you know, serious consequences. Now in India, I think after COVID-19, a lot of emphasis came back to predictive analytics, predicting how many beds we have, how many oxygen cylinders we have, how many ICU beds are available, etc. And I think this has been a big turning point. I think predictive analytics always existed in the minds of a lot of the people, but this probably created a much bigger, I would say, re-awareness of kinds, that we could use this, we should use this, otherwise it'll be very difficult for us to do it. So COVID-19, using the COVID application, Arogya Setu, is a good example of how predictive analytics has been used in India. And there have been hospitals in India, especially the corporate ones, the very large ones like Apollo, Manipal, Fortis, HCG, all the large ones have been using some form of analytics, you know, determining length of stay, readmission, emergency admissions if required. But a major source of why predictive analytics hasn't been picked up is because of four reasons. And the biggest reason is data. Today, a lot of hospitals in India and healthcare organizations in India are sitting on tons of data. A lot of this data is like crude oil, right? And I have this image in my mind when you do, anybody who's in the oil and gas industry would appreciate this. When you have Brent crude coming out of the ground, it's a black colored liquid. It's by itself, it's very jumbled up, but it's taken through a process called fractional distillation at different heating temperatures and the right amount of humidity. This Brent crude separates out into very valuable products like naphtha, jelly, diesel, kerosene, and of course, petrol. And this is how the IT, the entire oil and gas industry is using technology to create something out of the Brent crude. Similarly, the hospital data has a lot of information, but by itself, it's pretty much muddy. But if it's taken through a very systematic stage gate process of segregating the data and parsing the data, I think there is something in for every department, including clinicians, research, marketing, sales, talent, etc. So I think data is a big issue, and interoperability of the data is a big issue. These are both opportunities actually, and National Digital Health Mission is working on some of them. Standards are the second thing. Every data, every device, every system, every hospital has a different standard of storing data. Very difficult to aggregate it. Actually, within the same departments, within the same hospital itself, the way the devices data is stored versus the HIS data or the health information system data is very different. And if you have a third-party EMR which you acquired from some entity, they'll store data in a different way. There is also a lot of data that is stored in IoT devices like sensors, your heart rate monitors, BP monitors, etc. So getting all that together would require similar standards. The third, I think the biggest opportunity for us is in talent. Healthcare does not attract the right talent, especially when it comes to data analytics and digital things like data sciences. For example, a good example of how this affects us is if you look at how the government of India is looking at tax, and they have all these streams of data. They have access to your bank accounts. They have access to how much interest you generated from the bank accounts. They have access to all the credit card information you have, the GST you filed, the returns you filed. But what they need now is data scientists to correlate, and that's where government is hiring data scientists in a big way. Similarly, healthcare would have to start looking at data scientists, going beyond the data governance and data experts to data scientists who are statisticians who understand technology, and they bring all this together and try to correlate fact. For this kind of patient at this age level, for this gender, this has been the best source of treatment as per our records, and then correlated with what the industry is saying. Last but not the least, I think in hospitals especially, I don't know about devices and pharma that much, but hospitals, a lot of our processes are still aligned to humans being at the center of the decision making. You know, you have triaging where it's a set of human beings, where there's front office, emergency, everywhere, all the processes seem very rudimentary. You know, there is no process except for ambulatory in a lot of cases, and in some emergency cases where the admission is not required and you directly skip the line, get into the ICU or the emergency care trauma center. But in most cases, still the process is very human dependent, human centric. I think we have to start reimagining those processes. Do we really need to go through the way we have to go through? And I think the big role here has to be played by organizations like JCI and NABH to look at whether our processes are right, because these are bodies that certify hospitals. Almost everybody who is NABH certified today obviously receives a higher rate on schemes like Ayushman Bharat. So there's a big incentive for hospitals to do it. So if NABH starts looking at process reassessment and then ask the hospitals to also do it, I think we are at a very fantastic stage. In the end, I just want to highlight some of the things that organizations have been doing. You also see medical devices investing in predictive analytics, you know, reducing scan time, improving accuracy. The pharma industry globally has invested close to $1 billion. That was the biggest impact of pandemic, where they adopted cloud at a big rate, but now have started investing in AI in order to reduce time for clinical trials, increasing chance of finding the right candidates. Now, all of this, I covered a lot of this in my article that was carried in Data Quest just a couple of weeks ago. I'll share the link in the description section. As always, I would love to hear your views. What do you think needs to be done? And you can get in touch with me by mailing me at drvikram@healthcare-in-india.net or tweeting to me at drvikram on Twitter. As always, stay safe. Talk soon. Bye for now.